this present crisis, government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
With our liberal friends is not that they're ignorant. It's just that they know so much that isn't so.
Welcome to the Rest Day Home program. I'm your host, Primo Mondoni. My co-host, Ken Brown, will join me in a couple of minutes. Please visit the show's website at redstatetownhall.com, where there be sure to like us on both Facebook and Twitter. If you wish to contact us, the email address is Primo, P-R-E-M-O, at redstatetownhall.com. Our show is broadcast here on Red State Talk Radio, America's premier grassroots conservative internet talk radio network. The show is also syndicated through iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Podomatic, TalkStream Live, and at player.fm. You can listen to the station using our Android, iPhone, and BlackBerry apps. Visit the station's website, redstatetalkradio.com, to download the appropriate app for your smartphone. If you don't have a smartphone, you can use any phone and use our 24/7 listener line provided by TalkStream Live by dialing 605-562-4209. Before we start the show, let's give a shout-out to our AM and FM and digital affiliates. WJNW AM 1650, Hermitage, Tennessee. Talk Radio AM 1620, KTFL, Gilbert, Arizona. WMQL Radio FM 105.5, Brevard, North Carolina. Kaufman County Talk Radio AM 1680, KCTR, Terrell, Texas. And WDFP Digital Radio, Atlanta, Georgia. And I want to give a quick shout out to stations that are going to be joining us. And on March 23rd, I think is the date we've got set. This is a pretty big announcement because some of these this primary flagship station is going to be 100,000 watts in May. It's 10,000 watts now. It's 100,000 watts, which is a big station. WGHW FM 88.1 is basically in southeastern North Carolina. It's in between Wilmington and Carolina Beach. So we're going to welcome those guys here in a few weeks. Also WWFJ 88.1 in Fayetteville, North Carolina, and WOPR FM 88.1 Greensboro, North Carolina. So basically, the entire southeast of North Carolina will be covered, and they're picking up a few of our shows, and who knows, they may pick up some others. They're not haven't picked us up yet, Ken, but who knows? You never know. But but I want to just welcome to Red State Talk Radio in case. How you doing there, bud?
I'm all right. I just got back from my brother's up in North Georgia. I spent the night with him and drove back this morning.
Oh, really? What part of North Georgia is he living?
He's right above Dahlonega. He lives on the side of a mountain.
Oh, okay.
All right. I was planning on going up there a couple weeks ago when we had the snow come through, and he said, "Don't even bother. You can't get up the mountain." I said, "Okay." <it's fine." laughs>
Well, good advice from your brother. So let's go ahead and get started here. We've got a lot to talk about. And yes, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to talk about Hillary. There's no way in the world we can't. It has been the dominating story for the entire week. Actually, almost 2 weeks now, I guess, or week and a half, whatever. Well, we'll talk about that here in a minute. Let me get a couple things out of the way. I want to be sure and mention. After we went on the air last week, there was a story that the DNI confirmed that 116 former Gitmo detainees they've tracked them now, and they've returned to terror or insurgencies. Basically, they're back on the battlefield. And these are people we've let go from Gitmo. And basically, he says, if we release more, there'll be more that are get back into the terrorism game, which, of course, makes perfect sense. And that's exactly why we shouldn't be letting any damn guys go. I understand Obama's political point that he doesn't want. He thinks Gitmo is a recruiting tool for people to join ISIS and Al-Qaeda and Boko Haram. I call BS on that, because they don't need a real damn good reason to hate us and to come after us. You know, what do you think, kid? I mean, should we start listening? I mean, not all of them go back to terror, but of course we may not know all of. I mean, you can't keep track of all these guys. I'm sure they try, but we know for a fact that we've killed people who we released. We've killed them on the battlefield after we released them, for example.
When has being nice to people that hate you and want to kill you ever worked?
Let me think.
You have to think too long.
Yeah. I'm thinking never, right? Am I right?
Yeah. Okay. Well, plus when you put behind it a religious philosophy that you're an infidel and we can lie to you, we can do whatever it takes, and then we'll kill you.
I mean, how do you trust these guys on the front?
We got a theology you can't diplomatically get through. I mean, it's not possible.
Yeah, I still don't understand it. Now, here's the thing. Obama's not the only one that lets these guys go. Bush let some of these guys go, too. I think that's a mistake. I mean, I don't give a damn who the president is. It's a war on terror. It's not a declared war in the sense that we have a state that's declared war on us. Except I would make an exception for Iran. I think they pretty much declared war on us years ago, decades ago. So I think if we catch any Iranian, they should go into Gitmo. Assuming they don't kill them, they go into Gitmo and they stay there for freaking ever until Iran is defeated. And I'm thinking at some point we're going to have to. Somebody's going to have to go in and deal with Iran, whether it be us, the Israelis, or whatever. And I'm not just talking about the nuclear program. I'm talking about, you know, wiping them off the face of the earth if they don't behave themselves.
Does it bother you, Primo? Does it bother you like it bothers me that we have a White House advisor that's Iranian?
Well, Obama's closest advisor. She was born in Iran.
Do you think that persuades him?
Well, you know, yeah, I think so. Yeah,
I think. Look at his actions. Look, I mean, it just bugs me. It just bugs me that a high level official in the White House is Iranian, and I think that her allegiances are not fully with the United States.
I don't think they're with the United States at all, you know the truth. Well, you're trying to be kind.
I am. I'm trying to be kind here, and it doesn't work, does it?
No, because I think anybody's got a brain can see through it. I don't think anybody that thinks that Valerie Jarrett is all for America is nuts.
It would not surprise me at all if she was part of the reason behind that she thinks that Iran should have a nuclear bomb. And that would level the playing field out in the Middle East and eventually be the death of Israel.
Well, yeah, and like you said, level the playing field. I think the way she looks at it from being born in Iran, I think the way she looks at it is she wants to – her entire goal is to make sure Iran is safe and secure. And the way she looks at it is, if they're a nuclear power, nobody's going to mess with them. And it's, I think it's as simple as that. And so she wants to make sure that they become a nuclear power. And whether or not she may naively think that Iran's not going to use our nuclear weapons on us. I'm sure she fully understands if they get the nuclear weapon, they will attempt to use it on Israel. I don't think anybody thinks that they won't do that. But she's willing to sacrifice Israel and thinking that maybe the United States will be immune because they may not have the technology to get it over here in terms of ballistic missiles and stuff. But they're working on that. I think that she thinks that's okay with her. She's all right with that. And of course, she's never going to say what I just said. That's never going to happen. She's too smart for that.
Neither will Obama.
But
his actions lead, they go in that direction that he's trying to put the U.S. on an even keel with Iran and everybody else in the world. That we're no bigger than anybody else. We're on the same plane. I'm like,
yeah,
we're not. But you're trying to make us that way.
To me, I think it's an analogy of football. Now stick with me on this. In football, you tackle the other team, you sack the quarterback. But we're playing flag football with Iran. And it makes no sense to play flag football with a dedicated enemy like Iran, who's been after us for 30, 40 years, or actually maybe more than that.
Well, it's not just that. It's that you're playing with a team that, okay, we'll play flag football, but we don't have any flags. And they just cheat. And they're going to cheat.
Yeah.
And you go into it going, they're going to cheat. So you've got to safeguard every step that you think they're going to cheat you. We don't do that.
Well, either Iran doesn't have flags, or if they do have flags, what they do, they fool you, and you think they have flags. They do have flags, except they're not attached by Velcro. They're sewn into their pants.
You pretty much have to pull their whole pants off to get
them. I played flag football in my youth after I got out of college and stuff. I played on a YMCA team. And it's tougher than it looks in terms of trying to get somebody with their flag if they got shifty hips. So basically, Iran has shifty hips. Is what the deal is. Oh Lord! Anyway, okay.
Well, so I have to go on to the next logical question that we've talked about this. Actually, a year or so ago, we thought that Israel would act a lot sooner than that. Yeah. Now, right. And they have not. So my guess is they know that Iran is not yet there with their bomb repertoire. So when do you think they'll act? Because you and I both know they're going to act.
Well, yeah. Right? I mean, I don't.
You think it's going to be within this year?
Well, it'll be whenever Israel thinks it's the right thing to do, and when they think that they have the technology to the point where they have to act, they will. And I'm sure, because they know what kind of hell is going to rain down on them, they're waiting till the last minute and hoping that somehow the United States will wake up and get things right. But I think Netanyahu, one of the reasons he came here to speak in front of Congress is he's finally come to realize that not only is Obama really not on his side, he might, in fact, be an enemy, which is kind of what we've been talking about. I think Obama realizes Netanyahu realizes that the only thing that may save Israel from going into basically a nuclear war or at least trying to take out the Iranians' nuclear options is if Congress acts and reins in the president and forces the president to have a tougher stance on Iran. And that's his only, I think that's basically his last chance effort. And if we don't somehow put a brake on this thing, he's not going to have any choice, assuming he's still in power. Because, you know, he's got an election coming up.
Well, that's another thing. Did you hear the story about the State Department sending funds to his opponent?
Yeah, there was rumors of this, and but apparently it's pretty much almost a proven thing. It's being investigated. Congress is now investigating that because we're not supposed to have anything to do with another country's internal workings like that. We're not supposed to be influencing elections and stuff. Now, the thing is, that happens. We do it all the time, except we do it covertly. And this wasn't very covert. This was pretty ham-fisted. This was pretty – I don't know how the hell the Obama administration thought they'd get away with it. Of course, the problem is the Obama administration's gotten away with every damn thing, so I guess they feel like, oh, who the hell cares anymore at this point? Yeah. He's in his last couple of years of his administration. It's like, we'll just do whatever we damn well please. Anybody doesn't like it, screw him. I think that's
my
rad.
And then the other thing, which, get back on Valerie Jarrett, is that they say that Valerie Jarrett may be the one that leaks the email deal to the press about Hillary.
Yeah, yesterday that there are several sources that are saying there's actually a source, I think, inside the White House that of course it's an unnamed source, but supposedly a source inside the White House is the one leaking this out, that Valerie Jarrett's the one behind this power play. And now this has to be classified as rumor because it's not been confirmed by anybody, but there's actually, the source says, now get this. We're going to talk more about Hillary after the break. The source is that there are 6 ongoing investigations on Hillary Clinton through the Justice Department. Eric Holder, our buddy Eric Holder. And so it's almost as if Valerie Jarrett and Obama just figured out, you know what? She's gone now. We can do whatever we want. We're getting ready to go. Let's take this witch out. Because there's always been bad blood between the Clintons and Obama. Anybody who says different is not paying attention. And he almost had to give her Secretary of State. That was a deal cut when she was dropping out of the election. I mean, that's, oh, yes. Literally, it kind of went like this. Well, if I'm going to drop out and lend my full support to you and all my campaign donors and all the people who are going to vote for me, if I'm going to do that, I want something in return. And he goes, well, like what? She goes, I want Secretary of State. He goes, he thinks about it for a second, goes, done deal. And it was a handshake, maybe a handshake, I don't know. Of course, shaking the hand of Obama or Clinton is kind of a iffy thing anyway. But I think that's exactly what happened.
Now, this is, I don't know if you listened to Rush lately, but I'm going to go even further on this.
Go ahead. Yeah, I mean, you know.
He says, what happens if Valerie Jarrett is behind the email scandal, whatever, with Hillary, and that they, you know, Hillary's really the only candidate they have. There's nobody even close to Hillary on the Democratic side. Oh, so you get closer. I know. You get closer to 2016, and he says, well, I have to run again because there's no viable candidate for the Democratic side, and I'm going to go for a third term, and I'm going to make an executive action that says I can do it. And Rush says, would you put it past him to do it? And he says, I'm just throwing this out there. And he said, Mark Levin, I have a heart attack, but
he would. He struck would. Out on there.
He would. And I'm not that far over the edge on that. I'm kind of more with your thinking that, Hillary, you've been on your high horse, and Bill, I don't like you, and we're gonna take you down too. But if he does that, if you're trying to bring Hillary down, there is nobody there, you know. Elizabeth Warren is not, no. She's not a viable candidate.
I don't think she's any way she can win a national election. There's just,
No, and there's no one else that I can even, it even comes to my mind. So.
Creepy Uncle Joe Biden?
But the main point I'm saying is that your Obama does that, and he brings in a Republican as the president, who in turn can take down his Obamacare, his, you know, one awful claim to fame, then, and he can't do anything about it. at that point.
Well, so, think about this. I don't know if Rush said this because I didn't hear this, but here's the thing. Based on how the Republicans have acted thus far, if he did it, would anybody try to even stop him? I don't think so.
Well, that was
Rush's raise more point. Hell, and they'd get on TV and talk about this, that, and the other, but would they actually do anything? No.
That was Rush's point. He said they haven't done anything so far to stop him yet.
And to me, if that's not reason for impeachment, if he were to do that, now again, we're getting way out here. This is way out here.
I know.
But if that were to happen, not only would I'm just afraid the Republicans would other than crow about it, they wouldn't do anything about it. But would you need anything else for an impeachment? I mean, that would be enough for me. Forget all the other stuff he's done that he should have been impeached for, and would have been if he'd been George W. Bush. But that right there, defying the Constitution, the two-term limit, et cetera, that's just going way outside.
He defied the Constitution almost every step of the way.
I agree with that. But
I mean, and he said himself, the immigration thing, he didn't have the power to do that. And he said
22 times.
At least two times. He said he couldn't do it, and then he did it.
Yep.
So, he said, I can't run again. I'm out of here or whatever. And, Hillary's – this thing falls apart, and the ground swallows up Hillary.
There's actually an old thing that's out on the web. It's I see it on Facebook every day, and people talking about that Obama is going to declare a state of emergency, whether it be terrorism or whatever excuse he comes up with, will declare a state of emergency, and they'll have to postpone the elections. And therefore, he'll have to stay in office as president because someone's got to lead the country, kind of thing. Now, that's getting out there, too. But again, if he did it and he sits for the safety and security of the United States of America, I mean, would the Republicans do a damn thing about it? I don't think so. Not based on what they've done thus far.
That's almost martial law there. So, I mean,
I think Russia's idea actually makes more sense than... way, than that does, but...
I would think... See, this is... Now we're really getting out here, but I told...
Is there an alien thing in this, or...?
My sister-in-law thinks that because she's very much a conservative like me, and so is my brother, but, she loves to talk about this stuff with me, and she goes, she thinks that he'll declare martial law. And I said, the only way he can do that is there has to be a huge... catastrophe. Something's got to be, and it's got to affect a lot of people in this country for him to do that. And I said that's the only way he would do that, the only way he could do it, I think, is to create something, to create a catastrophe of some sort.
I don't think that's above his pay grade, as he likes to say. I think he would do that in a heartbeat if he thought he needed to.
She says, "Well, do you think he can do that?" And I wouldn't put anything past him. I won't put anything past him. But I said, I think that's really right now. It's a far fetched kind of a thing. I don't think he would. I mean, it's. The thing that bugs me is that Republicans have now got control of both houses, and they've done nothing, in my opinion, nothing. Oh. To show that they're ready to fight.
Well, let's put it this way. They've done nothing as a whole, as a group. There are still people like Ted Cruz and a few others that have stood on principle, have tried to get things going the way it should go, but there's just too many, let's just face it, there's just too many damn rhinos in the party to get to stand up to this guy. You got too many John Boehners and too many, people like that who simply... I think they just want to go along and play along, and let's don't rock the boat. And I want to be sure that I get invited to all the cocktail parties.
But it's all about being reelected. That's why I hate. That's why term limits need to be implemented in every elected official up there, not just the president.
Yeah, we've talked about this before. I used to be against it, but I'm totally for term limits now, and I'm not sure what the exact limit should be. But there ought to be one set, and we ought to get all these damn career politicians out the hell out of Washington and bring in new blood all the time.
Yeah, can we jump to that? I, I'm what really pissed me off this week. Can we jump that real fast?
We got about 30 seconds before we go to
break.
Okay,
good. 30 seconds. That's all I need. 30 seconds. And Obama flies to Los Angeles. And the same day, Michelle Obama flies to Los Angeles. He goes on Kimmel. She goes on Ellen, the DeGeneres show. And they take two separate planes. And they fly the same place the same day. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? How much money do we waste doing that?
I'd say, I mean, just ballpark, at least $1 million. I mean, I have no idea, but two jumbo jets across the country from D.C. to California. And here's the thing. It's not like one of them had to go one day, one of them had to go another day. They went the same day, and they both had to be in California 2 hours apart. 2 hours. You're telling me that one of them couldn't, whether it be the first lady or the president, you tell me they couldn't go on the same damn plane and one of them have a margarita for 2 hours or whatever, get something to eat for 2 hours, or have a meeting with someone, get on Obama's phone and start calling some people for 2 hours, and then go ahead to whatever appointment they had. That's just nonsense. People need to understand they work for the people and not the other way around.
And the guy preaches climate change and how we should be changing our ways and not using fossil fuels and all this other crap. And you're doing that stuff. I'm sorry, Primo. That just pisses me off.
It does me too. And then plus, sits there and talks about the one percenters and all the rich people. And who's he acting like? Is he acting like a middle class person? Yeah. Anyway, I mean, a middle class person. If you and your wife had to be somewhere, do you take? If you're going to go somewhere and it's local, and you have two vehicles, one takes one car, one takes the other, because they're going to be 2 hours apart. But if you're going to go a long distance, let's say you're going to get in your car, you're going to drive from Georgia to Illinois, and both of you have appointments 2 hours apart. Would you take two vehicles in, or would you both get in the same damn vehicle and somebody wait for 2 hours?
No, because it doesn't make sense to take.
It doesn't make sense, and the middle class, most people can't afford that kind of thing. But when you're president, I guess you can do whatever you want.
Well, that's it.
We got to go to break. We're running a little late. We'll be right back in just a few minutes, and I promise when we come back from the break, we're going to talk about the Hillary email gate. Okay. Be back in just a few moments.
Tune in to Red State Talk Radio, the new media's talk monster for grassroots.
That's what freedom is all about.
Common sense.
I would be willing to use waterboarding.
Conservative talk radio.
Big spending, liberal.
Red State Talk Radio. WRS Digital, Cleveland, Tennessee.
Commerce.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 800-400-1756 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 800-400-1756 to take your call now. Call 800-400-1756. That's 800-400-1756. Again, 800-400-1756.
America's premier grassroots conservative talk radio network.
Red State Talk Radio.
Are you tired of commuting to a job that makes someone else rich, working harder than ever, but getting nowhere? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare, having someone else raise your children? With our opportunities, you can start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss, work from home, and live a happier life. At Be the Boss Network, you'll find hundreds of work from home opportunities that you can literally start today and be earning money as soon as next week. Go to freedom36.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss. Get out of the rat race. Work from home. Go to freedom36.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom, the number 36.com. Go to freedom36.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You be the boss. Go to freedom36.com.
Mr. Speaker, get me a doctor.
The voice of American conservatism. WRS Digital, Red State Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Primo Mondoni, General Manager for Red State Talk Radio. We've been bringing you the very best in grassroots, common sense conservative talk radio for over 5 years now. One thing I've learned in those 5 years is that internet radio is a tough, competitive business. And if the station is going to advance that next level, it's going to require a significant increase in investments in both personnel and infrastructure. Our listenership grew by 42% in 2014, and with our ever-expanding listener base, it's time that we begin the move to a more listener-supported model to provide the station's future financial needs. Therefore, we're asking our loyal listeners to consider making a donation to help us reach our goals. Monthly subscriptions begin at only $2 per month, so please, help us restore conservative principles to our republic. Visit our website and become a Red State Talk Radio supporter today.
Red State Talk Radio. The Talk Monster. Tune in to Red State Talk Radio, the new media's talk monster for grassroots.
That's what freedom is all about.
Common sense.
I would be willing to use waterboarding.
Conservative talk radio.
Big spending, liberal.
Red State Talk Radio. WRS Digital, Cleveland, Tennessee.
Are you married? Do you and your husband both have term life insurance? If you both don't, you should. You have a lot to protect. Call now, get a free quote for your husband, and while you're at it, get a quote for yourself too. Because you both need term life insurance. Call now, 800-915-9654, 800-915-9654, 800-915-9654. Rates are at all-time lows. We'll shop over 30 top-rated companies to get you the best possible rates. Term life insurance, it's the perfect way to protect the quality of your family's lifestyle. You and your husband both need term life insurance, so call now for a free quote for the both of you. 800-915-9654, 800-915-9654, 800-915-9654.
Red State Talk Radio, the talk monster.
Okay, we're back. Okay. Let's talk about what we've really been wanting to talk about. Hillary. Good Lord. Of course, it was reported originally by I think CBS was the first person to come out. CBS News came out with the first report saying that Hillary was going to address her email scandal when she went to the UN. And she did do that. Held a press conference. Answered a few questions. I tell you what. These Clintons, they have something in their genes where they really have a command of the English language. It's all about the meaning of the word is and all that kind of stuff. It's like that every damn time because she was parsing her words so precisely. I don't know if you noticed it, but I did watch. This is one of the few times I actually watched the thing live. And she didn't really look at anybody. She kept looking to the left. She kept looking to the right. She kept looking up.
Looking down.
She was sitting there, and she was totally rehearsed, doing her gestures and talking about, and she was trying to give out the whole thing of, I'm being open and honest. She was trying to give out all those signals, and I didn't believe a word she said. She said several things that were just totally false. And of course, nobody really pushed her on it. One thing that she said, I think this one's kind of funny. And by the way, the State Department is not really backing her up at all. Because after this press conference, they went and started asking the State Department the next couple of days several questions. And every chance they had, the State Department did not defend Hillary. They basically put it, you'll have to ask the people in Hillary's camp. Basically, it's like, we're not getting into this damn mess. and they did that, and they also contradicted what she said. One thing she said was, that, forget the whole thing about her convenience and all that stuff. Let's just go past that for a minute. When she was talking about, she said, well, most of the people I was communicating with were State Department or government employees, and they all had .gov addresses. And so since I was communicating with them, then she said, were .gov addresses, their stuff was being archived instantly. And so there's a record of all this stuff somewhere. Well, the reality is, number one, the State Department did not start automatically archiving all their stuff until, guess when it came. February of 2015. Uh-huh. So, here's the thing. The way she, if you read the sentence, the way she worded it, she said, so anytime I communicate with someone, she didn't say anytime I did communicate. She said, anytime I communicate with someone, if I did, it would be recorded automatically. Well, that's true as of February, but it was not true when she was at Secretary of State, number one. And the second thing is, she knew that she's supposed to use a .gov address. Everybody, basically, most of the people she's communicating with, except her own staff, all had .gov addresses. Did never click on her. I mean, here's the thing. She knew this, of course. But let's just say she's a dumb old granny and doesn't understand computers. Let's just pretend that. You would think that she'd think, well, how come I don't have a .gov address? I mean, when it's .gov at the end of their email address, you'd think she'd figure that out. But Huma Abedin, who, by the way, she's a Muslim. She has Muslim roots. She has attachments and questionable affiliations with the Muslim Brotherhood, is her closest aide. She also had a private email address on Hillary's server they were using. And this other girl, Cheryl Hill or whatever her name is, I can't remember her name off the top of my head, another one of her close people, she had her email stuff on Hillary's server. So you got these three women that work closely together every single day, and they all had their email addresses on the ClintonEmail.com address, not .gov. So God only knows what that is. And then here's the funny thing. When she told everybody, she didn't tell everybody this, but this is what she really told them, is go to hell, I've already deleted all the stuff. Because when she said... When she said that she sent the stuff to the State Department, well, actually, she only submitted the stuff to the State Department after 2 years after she was supposed to, because of the congressional investigation. And that's when she finally did it. But, what was I going to say? I had something on my mind about, I lost my train of thought. I swear I lost it. Boom. I tell you what, you get old, it doesn't take much.
Well, there's so much going on here with Hillary. The funny thing is, it's not going away. I think she thought it would go away after this press conference, but it's not going away. It's gotten bigger.
It's like Charles Krauthammer said, this thing's got legs and it's got long legs.
Yeah. And you got Trey Gowdy on one end, who is just waiting in the wings for more and more information, and she's got to go in front of him, I think, twice.
Yeah.
Here's what I think, and this lady is not good thinking on her feet. She's not good at being rattled, because when she was rattled the last time she was in front of that Benghazi committee. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she had an outburst, and that thing's made the news so many times. You know, what the difference does it make? That kind of stuff. She gets rattled when you step inside her little safe zone, you know?
Yeah.
And she's not used to that, because the press lets her get away with crap. But so in front of Trey Gowdy, she's not going to have that safe zone anymore. She's going to have to think on her feet and
come. He's a bulldog, and he's smart.
Yes, but this time, he's got a lot of ammunition against her. And we know she's the one that came out there going, it's a video, it's a video, it's a video. and it was never a video. Yeah. And now we got emails that are she deleted, and she says she turned over 55,000 pages. Oh, come on. Come on, lady. Number one, yeah. You turned over a bunch of paper that may or may not have anything in it. Probably doesn't. And it wasn't everything. I don't care how many pages it was.
Well, see, here's the thing. I remember what I was going to say a minute ago and forgot. When she told everybody she deleted her stuff, but really she didn't. What she said was, after she sent the stuff to the State Department, she said, I decided not to retain my personal emails, which means I delete them. Mm-hmm. But see, she, again, phrasing of the words, she didn't want to say I deleted 30,000 plus emails. I decided there was no longer any reason to keep those. Kind of thing. And here's the problem. But that's against the law, too. That's against the statute. It's against the law. I mean, she's in trouble, I think.
Yeah, didn't it bug you when somebody says, trust me, I did the right thing?
Well, that might be good if the person actually had a history of being trustworthy. You know, I don't think anybody can say that about Hillary Clinton or Bill Clinton or any of the Clintons for this matter. I mean, but one thing on RedStateTalkRadio.com, there's a Politico magazine story, and literally the title of it is Go to Hell. And I mentioned that earlier. That's literally what – and first of all, Politico is a leaning left publication. Mm-hmm. And they even said that Hillary told everybody to go to hell because I'm him and I'll do what I want. And that's exactly the way she acted during her press conference, and that's the way she's done since then. But here's the thing. That server, not who deleted the stuff. I have this image in my head that Hillary's sitting there going, delete, delete, delete. But that's probably not the way it was done.
No.
Probably not. Someone else took care of that for her. But my thing is, Trey Gowdy has already said he does not have the power to go and grab her email server. Well, guess what? If these stories that we talked about, this theory, this rumor, that there are 6 investigations by the Justice Department, secret investigations on Hillary Clinton, if that's true, they have the authority because they can charge her with a federal crime and they can go in and confiscate all her stuff. That may be what happens. Now, did the person deleting it wipe the drive so they're really gone, or they just delete them? Because, I mean, I'm in the computer business, and I can tell you this. If you delete something and you don't wipe the drive after you delete it,
it's still there.
If you don't put zeros on that disk, it's still there. At least some of it's still there. It depends on how often you've used the server since. That stuff could be retrieved, at least a portion of it could be retrieved. So, I don't know. It's just I would love to see somebody get a hold of that server and just and forensically take somebody who really knows what they're doing to try and recover that data. And I don't know if you know this, Ken. Remember the IRS scandal? And they said lost her hard drive. It's gone. We don't have a backup. Blah blah blah. Of course, then we found them.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is on the IRS thing. Is that when the committee actually went when they assigned an inspector general to go look at this on the IRS stuff, and within 2 weeks he found all those emails. And you know how he found them?
How's that?
He literally went to the IT guys and said, "I'm trying to look for all those emails. Do you have them?" And they go, "Sure, we got them here on archive. They're on backup." And they go, "Wait a minute, somebody said everything was destroyed and you didn't have them." He said, "Did anybody else talk to you? Did the IRS talk to you? Did the commissioner talk to you? Did anybody else?" He said, "Nobody's ever asked us for this stuff." Literally, nobody had ever asked them. So the IRS commissioner and those guys were just going, "Oh, we thoroughly researched this. We just can't find them and they're just gone and I'm sorry and blah, 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 blah." And so how the hell, if you were the IRS commissioner or any other part of the government, and you go to try to find these emails, how the hell would you not go to the IT guys and ask them directly?
Really?
So it wasn't magically that they were destroyed and maybe they did destroy a hard drive and do whatever, but these guys, they were doing their jobs and they made sure that stuff got archived. And so they had it. And so it took them like a year or more or however long it took, and no one could find them. Nobody, everything was destroyed. They destroyed the hard drives. They melted them. They did whatever the hell they did with them. But nobody went to the IT guys and asked them and go, oh yeah, here you go. Right here it is. And they actually went and found it and gave it to him. Well, it's almost the same thing with Hillary. It's like she deleted all this stuff. And if somebody didn't get a hold of that server and go, now I have no doubt that Hillary did not back it up. Now, she is kind of anal. Maybe she did back it up somewhere else. I don't know. Maybe, you never know. But I got a funny feeling that it's been deleted, of course. But my thinking is it still may be retrievable. And the trick is you've got to get to that server quick. You cannot let it sit there because at some point somebody's going to go, are you sure you deleted the stuff, Hillary?
No, it's not, me, it's that somebody, whoever I heard the interview with, I don't remember who it is now, but if you have the server, you know, it's like a computer. When you have a computer and you, to make sure that nobody's going to get an old computer and look up, even though you deleted the stuff, you take a hammer and you beat the crap out of that computer and you smash every little thing.
All you got to do is just grab the hard drive out and just destroy the hard drive.
Just beat it to smithereens. But that's what I'm thinking she's going to do. She's going to have that server destroyed.
If it's not already done.
Yeah, if it's not already done. And she'll say, well, we destroyed everything because, there's no way to retrieve anything.
Well, see, here's the thing. If they were to do that, she can't say we destroyed everything because that makes it obvious that she's trying to hide everything. And first of all, think about this. The only reason she would have used her personal email is because she wanted to hide everything. That's the only reason you do that. Because if you weren't trying to hide anything, why would you turn down a .gov address? Because you could have put the .gov address on your BlackBerry or whatever. I mean, that's, you know.
Well, but you roll the dice, Primo. I think that you say.
She thought she'd get away with it, obviously.
Yeah. Well, I think you destroy your server because you tell the people, look, I did the safe thing. I deleted the stuff.
I want to make sure it didn't get in the wrong hands.
That's right. I make sure it didn't get in the wrong hands. So I had the server itself destroyed. So I did the right thing. And she's going to, bank on those low information voters that go, oh, well, she said she did the right thing. I believe her.
Well, Charles Krauthammer brought up a good thing about this form you have to sign when you leave the State Department. That you turned over all your stuff. Of course, she did not do that. She didn't do it until 2 years afterwards when she had to. Okay, that's first of all. But second of all, Charles Krauthammer pointed out that two things have happened. At the very least, assuming she has signed the form, which I've heard several people say, you cannot leave the State Department without signing this form.
Yeah.
And basically, he said she's done one of two things. She's either committed perjury by signing the form saying she turned over everything, when in fact she turned over nothing when she left. Or if she didn't sign the form, so she would not commit perjury, then she's guilty of a crime because she kept State Department stuff on her server for 2 years. And first of all, they should have never been on her in the first place.
Is that a felony?
That's actually a felony. Jill Petraeus got in trouble for that. And he admitted to it that he had some information on, I think what the deal was. I forget the exact deal, but basically he had stuff. Basically he had some information in his desktop drawer that should not have been there. And that's what he got in trouble for, because that stuff should have stayed in the Pentagon or whatever. It wasn't supposed to go home with him. And he got in trouble for that, and he has a plea deal on that and trying to work that out, and hopefully he does. But it wasn't to the degree of this. I mean, it's not like he took everything he ever did the entire time he was in the Pentagon and put that all that stuff in his desk drawer. That's not what happened. It was just a few documents. And he shouldn't have done it, and he should have to pay whatever price he has to pay for that. But if you worked there for all these years and you you kept everything and never turned over a single thing until you were forced to 2 years after you left, that's a totally different deal.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have, if I were a judge, I would not have leniency on that person. It's obvious that she's trying to hide stuff. But I don't know. She is a Clinton. She's gotten away with stuff forever.
But this is, like I said, I think Benghazi before this was her downfall, even more so now.
Yeah, I mean, this just adds on to the, and plus, there's a $6 billion that went missing out of her State Department nobody can account for. $6 billion during her watch just vanished. $6 billion. Not million, billion. And I think that's an undercover story. How can you have $6 billion? I mean, I guess you start talking trillions of dollars and whatever. I guess billions is the logical step. But how can you have that much money go missing and nobody can account for it ever, period? Plus, there's the other thing with these emails. What if all those, quote, personal emails were her campaigning and getting money for the Clinton Foundation through foreign governments, which, of course, they already know she did that and violated law there. Because while she was still in office, she was collecting money for the Clinton Foundation, and she was still Secretary of State. That's a no-no. Because basically it's almost like you're peddling your office for favors. What would you think? If you're Secretary of State, Ken, and someone comes up to you and asks you for a favor, and maybe you decline or whatever, but magically $100,000 or $1 million or whatever shows up in your foundation's bank account from that person, what do you assume has gone on there?
Something shady.
Does anybody think that you got turned down for your favor and you put $1 million in the bank anyway? Does anybody think that happens? First, got about a minute.
Do we have enough low information voters to elect this woman?
Oh, yeah.
That's scary, isn't it?
Yeah.
Is that not scary?
Yeah. Well, all I got to do is watch these man on the street things that Jimmy Kimmel and all these other guys do. There's tons of people out there that could vote for this woman simply because she is a woman. I mean, and that may be – I mean, I hate to say this, and we've said this before. There are a lot of people who voted for Barack Obama just because he was the first black presidential candidate had a chance.
Yeah. But
it's simple.
But the longer you keep a story in the news, like this email thing, as long as you keep that in the news, it eventually hits enough people, they go, oh, she must have really done something wrong if they keep on playing this all the time. That's what's going to hurt her.
Well, I hope so. But
those people vote.
But by the same token, some of those people, Ken, they don't get it. And so they think, oh, they just hate women. It's just a war against women.
Well, I know.
Okay, we are out of time. You want to take a real quick before we go. Denise Simon on our website, redstatetalkradio.com, on the station's website. Be sure to check out her. She's doing a five-part series on the Muslim Brotherhood and the White House. Part number 4 is now posted on there. If you've not read them, you should start with part 1 and go forward. Part 5, which will be the final part of the series, will probably be posted this week. Ken, you want to take us out here?
If we lose freedom here, there is no place to escape to. This is the last stand on earth. Ronald Wilson Reagan, our 40th president of these United States.
That's it. We'll see you next time.